From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, June 1st, 2020.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Modern Pest Services, committed to offering eco-friendly pest control solutions. Learn more at modernpest.com.
The Maine Center for Disease Control is reporting 24 new cases of COVID-19 and no additional deaths today. 34 more people have recovered since Sunday. So far, 89 people in Maine with COVID-19 have died since the onset of the pandemic. The CDC is reporting new outbreaks of COVID-19 at four Portland area facilities. These include the city's homeless shelter, the city's family homeless shelter, where there have been 15 cases in recent days. Five cases at the Birchwoods at Kanko, an assisted living facility in Portland, five at a residence for developmentally disabled adults on Marshall Street in Portland, and four at the Barron Center, which the city of Portland also runs. Meanwhile, Dr. Nirav Shah of the Maine CDC says 85 people have now tested positive at Cape Memory Care, a residential care facility in Cape Elizabeth.
That's comprised of 61 residents and 23 staff members. Sadly, four individuals associated with that facility have also passed away.
Shah says there's a tight link between measures to reduce community transmission and the subsequent benefit that can be achieved in fewer nursing home cases.
By wearing a face covering, by maintaining social distancing, you're not just protecting people around you and your family. You might be reducing the likelihood that you could expose a worker in a long-term care facility.
And by taking those steps, Shah says you may be reducing the likelihood of an outbreak at a long-term care facility. Coastal state parks closed since March are back open, part of stage two of Governor Janet Mills' phased reopening plan. Only about two dozen people were at Popham Beach in Phippsburg this afternoon. They included wetsuited surfers Isabel and Claire Dubois of Freeport and their father Rich.
And I think since all of these new beaches are open now that it'll divide the people up more than just like having a few beaches open. I guess that's my hope.
Yeah.
There's plenty of room out there to spread out. It's just the parking lot that it's going to be tight this summer.
To help ensure adequate social distancing, the state's limiting parking and public bathrooms at lifeguarded beaches like Popham and Reed State Park. Park's regional manager Gary Best says rangers are asking visitors to wear masks in areas where 6-foot distancing is difficult. In weather tonight, clearing with lows in the mid-30s to the mid-40s. Maine Governor Janet Mills today told President Trump that his planned visit to a factory in Guilford later this week could provoke additional unrest and become a security concern for the state. The exchange was revealed in a private conference call between the president and the nation's governors that was published by several national news outlets. Steve Missler has more.
The president's call with the nation's governors centered on their response to ongoing protests and civil unrest sparked by the death of George Floyd, a black Minnesota man who died while in the custody of Minneapolis police. During the call, Trump berated several governors for their response to the protests, which have turned violent in some cases, and he urged them to squash the protests or, quote, look like jerks. Then it was Governor Mills' turn to ask a question. She first asked U.S. Attorney General William Barr to provide intelligence showing that the protests were in part organized by domestic terrorists. In a scratchy recording of the call provided to the Daily Beast, Mills can also be heard telling President Trump that his scheduled visit to Maine later this week could exacerbate tensions.
Mr. President, I'm very concerned, quite frankly, that we understand you may be coming to the state of Maine later this week. I'm very concerned that your presence may cause security problems for our state. We don't have them yet, so I'm concerned about that.
Mills was referring to the president's scheduled visit to Puritan Medical Products, the Guilford company that has been making specialized swabs that are used to administer tests for COVID-19. Trump said his visit shouldn't be a problem.
We'll look into that. We have a tremendous crowd of people showing up, as you know, and I think most of them are very favorable. They like their president.
Later in the call, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker told Trump that his inflammatory rhetoric amid the unrest was making tensions worse. But that sentiment was not shared by West Virginia Governor Jim Justice, a Republican and avid backer of the president. Justice, referring to Mills' concern about safety, said the president could visit his state instead.
If it comes to pass that some states would rather you didn't come there, you come to West Virginia because you're a blooming hero here, and we'll protect you in every way, and there won't be any disturbance whatsoever.
Trump responded with a defiant comment directed at Mills.
Well, that sounds a lot different than the governor of Maine. That's very good. You know, she's
the president's trip to Guilford is reportedly still on for Friday, although no details have been provided to the press. Mills, meanwhile, is expected to address the Maine press about her comments Monday evening. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Today, retail stores in the four Maine counties with community transmission of coronavirus were allowed to join their counterparts in the rest of the state and reopen. That includes the shopping mecca of Freeport in Cumberland County, which attracts 3 million visitors a year. Patty White reports on the first day of business.
One of the primary attractions for Freeport shoppers is, of course, L.L. Bean. When it shut its doors in mid-March, it marked the first time ever that the store, famous for being open round the clock, had closed for more than 24 hours. But when the flagship store reopened to in-person shoppers Monday morning for the first time in nearly 3 months, it was greeted by a slow trickle of decidedly loyal customers.
I think it's kind of a sign of Maine coming back.
Virginia Culgan and her daughter Kara Tillotson, both of Brunswick, say they made a point to stop in to support L.L. Bean and to see what the shopping experience was like.
It was surprisingly kind of lovely. The employees are so excited.
Yeah, like it has an energy, like people are happy to be here.
L.L. Bean declined an interview request, but in a written statement, the company says that it's opening under limited hours, 9 to 5. Signs inside remind people to wear masks and keep a 6-foot distance. And per state guidelines, the store is limiting the total number of customers inside at a given time, which didn't seem to be a problem on Monday morning.
Basically, you get everything to yourself today.
Sherry Buxton of Wyndham had the sidewalk to herself as she worked her way up to the flagship store after picking up a pair of slippers at the L.L. Bean outlet. As a small business owner herself, she says it's time to venture out and support local shops.
I feel more comfortable here than I do in a grocery store with everybody all around you.
Buxton and all the other shoppers that Maine Public spoke to was wearing a mask. Susan Culkins hopes it stays that way. She owns the Mangy Moose gift shop on Main Street. After spending the past 2 weeks cleaning and getting ready to open, she's excited to welcome her first in-store customers in months, but also a little nervous.
I would say that we're all worried because we're all such non-confrontational people. I would say our big worry is people that want to come in without masks on.
A few blocks south at Abacus Gallery, manager Ian McLeod says he's also got that on the back of his mind after seeing confrontations on social media in other states. But he says Abacus has done what it can to prepare, and now it's time to take the plunge.
It's all feels very experimental right now. It doesn't feel like we've got it all figured out this week, but it feels like we kind of got to be here to figure out what do we do? How does this work now?
McLeod says he's hopeful that people will self-police so that he can focus on providing a safe but enjoyable experience for customers.
I'm happy to be back to work. I'm happy to have the door open on the gallery. It's a beautiful day. Usually this music bothers me because we have a CD changer with 5 CDs, but I'm like loving this music today. I turned it on first thing this morning. I was like, oh, baby, I might just turn it up.
While several Freeport stores cranked up the music for in-store shoppers Monday, others remained closed. The manager of Mexicali Blues, Chauncey Erskine, says the Freeport location will open Wednesday. The store is typically packed with clothing, jewelry, and gifts from around the globe, and Erskine has been removing some displays to provide more space.
People truly come here as like a form of therapy, color therapy, you know, sound therapy, and people come for their incense or their tie-dye, and I think it's a really important time for us to be able to offer that to people right now.
Sherman's Maine Coast Bookshop is also waiting to open as it gets things ready. Reached by phone, CEO Jeff Curtis says his Freeport store will open Thursday. He's feeling some trepidation, but not about health and safety. He's been able to do a trial run in his locations in other counties.
We now have 2 weeks under our belt in the other three stores, and everybody says they feel safe. The customers are comfortable. So that seems to be going well. What isn't going quite so well is the level of business.
Curtis says business is 30 to 40% of what it would normally be, and he's down $500,000 so far this year. The customer limits are a challenge, he says. The Freeport store is 3,500 square feet and falls within a category that can only allow in 5 customers at a time.
Which, to us, doesn't actually make sense. If 5 customers is safe in 1,000 square feet, it does seem like a 3,500 square foot store should be allowed more.
Curtis says it will likely be a difficult summer if those limits aren't modified, as well as the 14-day quarantine for out-of-state visitors. But as hotels and other shops open, he's hopeful that business will pick up. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
An African asylum seeker who headed up and helped found an organization that brings together immigrant communities in Greater Portland to collaborate and share resources is being remembered today. Alain Nahimana died yesterday from complications of diabetes. Ed Morin has more.
Alain Nahimana came to the U.S. as an asylum seeker from Burundi in 2010. He was hired as coordinator of the Maine Immigrant Rights Coalition in 2013, and 4 years later, the Greater Portland Immigrant Welcome Center opened its doors. On Maine Calling in September of 2018, Nahimana explained that the idea for the center came from a realization that community organizations providing immigrant services lacked funding and had no infrastructure.
So the idea was to create a space, a center where people could share offices, could share meeting rooms, and could share infrastructure.
Center Finance and Operations Director Damaru Gaba, who co-founded the organization, says Nahimana believed that greatness could be achieved by working together and always went after big ideas and achievements.
And he always told me that if you set the bar to the sky, you're going to reach high. But if you set it low, then you limit yourself.
Another friend, Portland City Councilor Pius Ali, says Nahimana had a larger-than-life personality and knew how to connect with the business community.
And he knows how to engage everyone. He can sit at any table and equally engage in a very meaningful way.
In a written statement, First District Congresswoman Shelley Pinkree says Nahimana's legacy will live on, especially in the Welcome Center's initiative to identify and register thousands of immigrant voters in Maine. Center co-founder Rugaba says Nahimana's death is a big loss for the immigrant community in Maine and across the country, but he says Nahimana made sure that the center was built on a strong foundation with a staff and board that will continue the work he started.
And even goes higher than what he expected. We owe all of that to him.
The Immigrant Welcome Center says it will post a GoFundMe campaign on its Facebook page and website, and we'll have more information about plans to memorialize Alain Nahimana, who died on Sunday. He was 49. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ed Morin.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock for a look at dealing with grief during the pandemic. I'm Nora Flaherty.